Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm the SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just reminder, Hannah, join us with a podcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Shoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for Quality 17702 or search for Starfleet Universe On Call. Also, of course, we also co-broadcast over on the twitch.tv website. Just go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call and you can join us there. And there's usually plenty of people in the chat room. They're mostly over on Twitch these days instead of on Talk Shoe. So if you want to listen and chat away with other people, that's probably your best venue. When it comes, of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Oh, and just a reminder, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. I also have my Twitter accounts, sfuoncall, Paul Franz, it's PAUYFRANZ, and of course, Franz Games. And, you know, that's from different ways of reaching me, from the podcast, just want to see what's going on with the podcast, from personally me, you know, and also, of course, Franz Games, which is targeted at Franz Games, what's going on, Starfleet Warlord, SFB Online, things like that. So, whichever one you want to follow, feel free. Of course, as a reminder, the personal one, Paul Franz, I'm a rabid O's fan. I'm definitely proud of being a Catholic, and I love all kinds of technology. Quick news from ADB this week. Crickets. No quick news from ADB this week. Other than they did mention advanced ops. I saw them, so a mention of that, that it's being delayed because of it's not quite finished. There's the scenarios are not. I think it's the scenarios is the issue with advanced ops at this moment in times, and then I'm not about to ship it out without that. So unfortunately, F&E people, you're gonna have to wait for a little bit. Moving on to the SFB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star tournament number 9. 4 out of 8 games are completed of round 1, which is awesome. Mine is not completed, but we will be getting into that later on in the podcast. And just to let you know, we paused or stopped because it was getting late for me. It's still early for him. Around at the end of turn 5. So I don't think that's really a spoiler. But just to let you know that we only got 5 turns in. But it's been an interesting game. When it comes to FedCom Library, no progress there. Though I did get some progress over the weekend on finally cleaning up my FedCom card images. So now they're all organized. Everything's out of email, which makes me much, much happier about that situation because it was always hanging over my head. Got these like 30 emails, which have different images. I still have to work on some of mine, including the Andromedans. But we'll get through all those FedCom library pieces that I've yet to add. And I apologize for the delay on those. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's me. I got Barry at least for a little bit. And I'm sure we're going to have people joining us in the ever-so-wonderful chat room for Twitch, because I've not seen anyone over on Talk Show, which is just fine with me. But in any case, hey Barry, how you doing?
Hey, well, I guess since I'm on Talk Show, I'm a nobody. You said nobody was on Talk Show, so yeah. Like, okay.
You know what I meant.
Sorry, you send me a low ball, a slow ball. No,
I know.
I'm going to swing.
Yep. And Dave actually, is all on there. It's saw me start the recording. It's like, oh, okay, I'm over here. And Enders, of course, rule. And we'll just see how well they rule after Sunday night's game. Because that was the one thing I promised y'all what I was going to be doing. Just a reminder before I talk about the topic tonight, which is my Sapphire game that I played on Sunday night. We did not complete. We ended at the end of turn 5. But I'm alive.
I assume you're in an Andro.
I'm in an Andro. He's in a King Eagle.
And what is your opponent?
King Eagle.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
That's been quite interesting. I can tell you that now. And it's only by the grace of God at the moment that I'm still alive. that's the way I feel about it. We'll get to that part. I don't want to do any spoilers. But before we discuss this, I just want a quick reminder that next week is da-da-da-da, in the United States, it is Thanksgiving. So that means there'll be no podcast for that week. Anyone's been on this podcast for a number of years know that I never broadcast on Thanksgiving. I might record a short little ditty, a little short little audio thing for people, just wishing people a happy Thanksgiving. But that's going to be about it. So, not as much as you think so, Dave.
Yeah.
They're saying, oh, I bet that art torpedo stung. Not as hard. It's been an interesting game.
Oh, you took an art torp?
Yep, I already took an art torp, and I survived. So, actually, I took a couple art torps, kind of. but we'll get to that.
I assume did you take the pseudo?
Yep, that's how I took a couple torps. but it was interesting. It's definitely a very interesting game. To start off with, okay, let's go through the game real quick. I did actually okay. Let me just do this. Why is that there? Don't mind me. I got to do something. Over there. There. Oh, crap. I'm sure that got recorded too. Okay. Whatever. I was moving a file around. It's like, I don't need that file. Because the file...
Can the Andro substitute as a...
No. For P mine? No. I looked that up. I thought it could. And I announced that last week. But I found out, no. That rule is not used. Which is, I think it's M10. I think that's the right rule. I'm not quite... But the important thing rules, that it was in the section of the rules that says, we're not using these rules. So it's like,
yeah.
And I even double checked. I said, okay, well, maybe, just maybe, there's a special rule for the Andromeda. Because it's invariably, you know, if they have special rules within in the tournament ship description, it tells you any special things that are allowed for that ship. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, so definitely they're not using that rule. Okay. I would have liked it. I think that would have been quite cool. Of course, I think my stress level would have been much decreased if I would have had a PA mine. But that did not happen. So, getting into the quick, I'm going to go through. I did it again. I'm going to go through the game, you know, all five turns. You know, that probably will take the whole. I should take the whole podcast, especially if there's some really interesting parts in this game, and I'm sorry for people who watched the game. Even though there were quite a few people, but I'm sorry we did not actually have a voice channel in Discord. So. And Iggy knows this. He was there. We went completely old school, which is silent text based. you know, which,
right,
you know, that's the way I'm used to doing it. You know, as I don't think Jason is set up for Discord. I don't think he has an account. Mm. In fact, I'm positive he doesn't have an account, because I would think most people who sign up for Discord for SFB Online to be part of the Discord server, they usually keep their call sign pretty much the same as what they use for SFB Online. Mm. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they are. Most of the time they are. And I definitely did not see Hood, which is his call sign. The Hood is the actual call sign. But I did not see that. So he probably doesn't have it even. Yeah, if you want to, Chris, you can use Discord in turn. If you want to talk to your opponent, you can do that. It's completely valid. Obviously, you still have to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, I would highly recommend, especially for tournament play, that they use all the tools that are available in the client itself to, you know, record things like, oh, you're fired and all that kind of thing. Don't just announce it, because then there is no record. There's no way to prove that, oh, right, yes, that you announced this. You know, if there's any questions to the judge, because the judge doesn't have a recording of your Discord channel. And there you can have it, but sure, that makes it even more difficult to judge anything, because Lord knows, can you imagine like a 6-hour audio file that someone has to listen through?
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you can do it. It's just that I just recommend you use all the tools when it comes to announcing fire and things like that. And overall, there's the one thing I do not like with Discord. And this is not a Discord. It's audio chat while you're playing. And that is key tapping. Key tapping, in my mind, gives you a way. It's kind of that metagaming kind of thing where it tells your opponent that you're doing something. Whether it's to the game or not, most of the time you're focusing on the game. You're not going to be checking your email while you're in the middle of playing a game. At least I hope you're not. That might explain some people how slow some people are, but you know, because it's an online game, you're playing against in theory, yes, you could type randomly, but now you're getting into the whole metagaming aspect where some people, what they do is they'll bring up, the activity and even do a call for fire. That's one thing I should let people know. We're not doing, me and Jason, we're not using call for fire. We use pure impulse activity, which is,
okay, I prefer what I usually use.
That's what I prefer. Jason wanted it. So, okay, we're going, we'll go with that. And you know, some people will do that, will call for fire, and then they won't fire. Why? Because they're trying to get their opponent to fire, which I think there might have been at least one instance, or maybe two instances, where Jason tried to do that with me, but I went, nope. I stuck to what I was doing. Whether I was gonna fire or not fire. He's like, he's gonna fire, okay, he's gonna fire. You know, I'm not firing. And he didn't fire, and it's like, okay. And that happened a couple times during the game. I'm not sure
this is why I prefer pure impulse activity.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did pure impulse activity. He didn't do a call for fire. He just brought it up. And I'm not sure whether he changed his mind and decided not to have an activity, or he was trying to goad me into doing some activity. You know, I can't say one way or the other. I really can't. So I'm not going to say that he did it specifically to do that. I don't know. I'm not sure one way or the other. And personally, I don't care, because he's not going to goad me. You know, I'm going to stick to what I planned on doing. And if he wants to fire whenever he wants to fire, fine. I'm not going to change things. Okay. Now, to get into the game itself. And that's turn one. Turn one was actually relatively kind of uneventful. Do I have it here? Oh, did I? Well, let me just check one thing. Because I don't see it. Oh, come on. I thought I... Let me just do a boom, 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 boom. I don't see it. Is that it? Nope, that's not it. And that's not it either, is it? Nope, that's not it. Huh. I thought I recorded it. I thought I took a screenshot. I don't. Well, whatevs. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Because I thought I took a picture of impulse. Sorry, turn one, impulse 15. Okay. This. Yeah, Chris. If people want Call for Fire, you need to use Call for Fire for tournaments. That is the rule. So, just let people know who don't play tournaments that often. That is the ruling from Steve Cole himself. So it is the rule. I read on. Iggy, you don't remember? Okay, whatever. Let's go through it, Iggy, and we'll go through it. Okay, turn one. Turn one is actually relatively uneventful. I start off with speed 24. He starts off speed 30. He runs for the center board. I actually go for the center board too. The reason being is that I figured that was probably the best way to get some range. Because I did not want him yeah. I did not want to do a corner dodge and have him basically pin me to the wall. That's what I did not want to happen. There's other.
Well, yeah. If you're playing a plasma chucker, it's almost always you're going for the center. He controls the center.
Yeah. Oh, agreed.
If you don't control the center, then against the plasma chucker, he now has got only half the distance to cover, and mm-hmm. his plasma's got much stronger because they're not going to have to travel as far before you run into the wall.
Yep. And yeah. So we're both heading towards the center. He started turn speed 30. I started speed 24 because I figured I don't need to be zooming towards the center. I just need to be fast enough. So mm-hmm. we go towards the center of the board. At range, actually, to me, the weird part about the way the game started is I forget if it was the first or second move that he made. He turned into me, basically turned left, right towards me. It's like, huh? So he turned directly. It was like he was trying his best to get as quickly as possible across my bow on my ship. So he goes, turns and goes directly, beeline. So he's not even sideslip. He's just going straight. So he's trying to get across there as soon as possible, which is for good reason because later on he actually slows down to a speed 15. But before I'm pretty sure it's before he gets to speed 15, what he does is we get to range 13 and then he does something unusual, which I don't see that often. He launches Plasma R at range 13, which, of course, this is a Plasma R. Range 13 can still, which actually in a way it makes sense to a certain degree, because of if you want to keep people out of overloaded range. Now, if you actually look at the Andromedan, you're not really that concerned about overloaded range. You're more concerned about range 5 or closer, because tier H is you can't get the max damage, which is 20 points, unless you're at least range 5. So
right. Yeah.
So he does that. Okay, fine. So what I do is when he does that, you know, I turn. You know, I turn immediately because like okay, I'm not gonna rush
in.
You're
gonna run it out.
Yeah, I'm not gonna rush into this thing because if it's real, then he's just gonna clobber me. So I turn.
Yeah.
And so I end up just turning and then side slipping, you know, along the edge. Yeah. Close to not
yeah.
edge, but you know, I turn and just kind of go straight to the right. And he, of course,
mm-hmm.
after this, he had just turned in direction D and then he launched the plasma R, and then I start slide slipping across. He turns into me. So he's heading direction yeah. B at this point, and he's following me. We end up mm-hmm. with at the very end of the turn. His, let me bring that up for folks. Which is, hopefully people can see this. Okay, so. Let's go there, and that should do it. Okay, so for those of you on the video, you can see where I am. We got directly off shield number two. I mean, directly off, as in two hexes away. I'm directing C. It's directly two hexes down towards in direction D. So it's the plasma's two hexes right off me, and the King Eagle is 13 hexes behind me, off shield number three. It's not directly, not right out shield number three. It's a little behind shield number three, towards shield number four a little bit, but still remains 13. So that's where we ended the turn.
Yeah.
So I'm looking this, and I'm going, that's not good. So we start the next turn, and I figure, okay, I think about this for a while, and I think about, okay, let's see what this is, because it's already drawn out to around 25. I think I calculated it out. I think it was like.
Yeah.
25 points of damage. So I let it run out enough. And just so that, it doesn't yeah. hit me in the rear panels. What do I do? The first impulse possible, what I do is I actually turn in towards it so that first, impulse two, first impulse for me, second impulse, I hit him. Right on. Bam. It's a fake. So, okay. Now I'm terrified. Because what I'm terrified is that he's got an enveloper all set to go. Because running that one out is going to take a lot of time. And it's one of those ones you do not want to hit. 25 and 25, not good. So,
Developer, I guess, is scary for an Andro.
Yep. Oh, very, very, very scary. Especially unless you draw it out enough. So I continue to head down direction D, and I'm side slipping away from the King Eagle. The King Eagle, he actually turns from direction B. Okay. I was direction D. I'm side slipping out towards the wall. Because at that point, I'm like five hexes away from the wall. So I'm trying to keep as much distance as possible from the King Eagle. And the King Eagle, he turns from direction B to direction C. So he's going to follow me in. Mm-hmm. So, okay, fine. He's following me. Well, obviously, I can't have him do that all the whole time. So I finally end up turning to direction E. So I turn in so that I can come and hit his, you know, front shield. So.
Yeah.
And let me bring it up. On impulse 14, we have a little excitement, which is he has got me centerlined off of shield number one, range five. At that point, I fire my two tier H's heavy. And my and four. I think it's four phaser twos.
Four P2s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do 34 points of damage. Cool. So and what does he do? He doesn't use any reinforcement whatsoever. So I go bing bing bing. Shield gone. And then
a little armor gone.
All four armor is gone. Poof. So I was like, okay. Cool. Shield number one down. Awesome. That's exactly what I want. Yes. I took down the shield. No, I did not fire into number one. We fired in mid turn two. So I do that. I got 34 points of damage. And of course, before I fire my TRHs, also I activate my displacement device. I roll. Boom. Successful. Yay. I run away. I went six hexes directly, direction D. So it's straight down. So I was able to open up the range from 5 to 11. So, yes, I'm good. So I keep running away at that point. At the end of the turn, he turns around and follows me. So what happens is at the end of turn two, I'm basically right at the bottom of the board. Oh, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. At this moment in time, impulse 32. What's the range? I think it's range 13. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Sorry, range 11. He's 11 hexes behind me. I'm right against the board. I can still go straight.
Your displacement device has not cycled yet.
Nope. Because I just used it this on turn two.
That's what I meant. Yeah, yep. I know.
And what does he do? Impulse 32 of turn two, he launches a plasma R. Okay.
Standard or enveloper?
Standard. Which is why I looked at it and go, what? He did what?
He didn't have the power to envelop it. It takes a lot of power to envelop.
Oh, I know. And I think that's probably why he didn't use an enveloper, because and that's one of those things that if you load it as a standard, you can't later on envelop it. You're stuck.
You can't hold a standard with an R either.
Right. Oh, agreed. So my guess at this moment in time is he probably loaded it as a plasma R, as a standard plasma R in energy allocation instead of using reserve power to boost it up. To either.
You can't use reserve power for an enveloper.
I know. That's what I said. But the only reason I can imagine him actually launching his plasma R, impulse 32 of turn two, is that he had already completely finished arming it at the energy allocation. Because you can, there's other ways of doing it. You can do a rolling delay and then use reserve power to make it an R. Or load it as an S, hold that, and then upgrade it right before you launch it.
But if you upgrade it before you launch it, you can't change it to an enveloper.
Right. That's the only gotcha, which is versus the rolling delay. But my guess is he completely charged it, you know, in EA, and that's why he launched it. So it's like, okay, well, obviously I know what I'm going to be doing on turn three. I'm going to be running for the corner because I don't know how often Jason plays Romulan. That's the God honest truth. I don't know. I don't know why he normally plays. He was away from SFB for a long time. Because last time I saw him, he actually flew from Australia to Columbus, Ohio, and played in the Origins, you know, the Gold Hat Tournament, which was interesting. It was like, you know, I got to meet the guy, found out that he made his, I'm not sure if he still does this, but he was making his living playing poker. So,
right,
if you can do it, go for it, man. So I figure I'm going to be running for the corner and I'm going to try to run it out as far as possible, get it down to a decent, you know, warhead strength where I can deal with it. So that's exactly what I do. And that's weird. Hold on. Ah, there it is. Sorry. Forgot to tell. There's what I meant to show first, which was Impulse 16. Impulse 16, what I do is I turn directly into the plasma's coming so that the plasma does not hit me in the rear panels. That's when I turn to direction A. And so I can take the plasma directly on the front panels.
The front. Yeah.
Yeah, so at that moment in time, I take the 25. It's like, okay, fine, awesome, great. I didn't even fire at it because I was saving my energy.
Right.
And okay, he hits me. This is where things get interesting for the turn. So I turn in here. And the King Eagle is still coming at me. He's at that moment in time 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's still 11 hexes away from me, but at the moment he's off my shield number 2 towards the shield number 1. So it's almost right at the shield split between shield number 1 and shield number 2.
Yeah.
So it hits me, and I start going up. And of course, when I'm going up, I'm side-slipping out towards the wall, because I want to keep my range open as much as possible.
Oh yeah.
By impulse 20, I was side-slipping. Oh, I know why. I was actually side-slipping towards him, because of I wanted to get on his number one shield. It's like, come on. Come on, come closer.
And hit it again.
Yeah, and I'll fire just my phasers at you.
Well, at this point now, the shield you had taken down is his number one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have my TRs, but I still have phasers. So.
Sure.
I can. Continue to close. Let me just do one quick check here for people. Let's make sure I'm not missing anything. Bah, 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 bah. Yeah, I did not end up firing, but he ended up a little bit later on the same turn. You know, we're closing. We're range 5. Actually, I've got it. Looks like I missed the opportunity to fire at his down shield. And beat up on his armor. Actually, I think the reason why I didn't fire was because I was concerned about his plasma Fs. And recall correctly, actually, this impulse 20, is when he launched his Plasma F. I'll double check, because I have to check. And that was right. Yeah, exactly. Now, what gets interesting is just in a bit. That's an impulse 27. He had turned away from me. I'd have to double check the actual logs to know exactly when, but he turned away from me because he didn't want his down shield. Give me a good, really good shot at his down shield. You know, I was holding my phase because of all the plasma F, and I wanted to make sure that he didn't get too much damage on my front panels, because he's still got two plasma Fs. After 25 points of damage, another 40 points of damage, and then his phasers, I could be a big trouble. So I decide, fine.
You would.
I'm going to just hold my phasers because I want to be able to phaser them down. So what happens? He launches the plasma, right? I'm trying to remember the sequence, and then he turns away. And so he's going direction C. So I go, okay, great. He's going direction C. I'm gonna go turn in direction B. So I'm gonna end up behind him. So he'll go flying away, and I'll go flying behind him, and that'll give me plenty of runaway. I can run away from him at that point.
Yeah.
With very little issue, right. And I can get, basically, I was thinking about getting behind him and then going up the board so that I can cut him off, basically, up ahead. So, what happens? He turns away, and then impulse 27, as soon as I turn behind him, because I'm still going slow, I'm going speed 21 at this point. I'm going slow because there's no reason to rush for the corner. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and what does he do? He turns, he goes, boom! He hits. Hits. So now he's at range 2. I'm expecting him to just blast me with all his phaser 3s and his phaser 1s. Does he do that? No.
Mm-hmm.
He fires 2 phaser 1s. Still hurts. Okay, fine. And let me see. Is it here or? Okay, that's a little farther. Okay. He continues going straight. And I continue going behind him. Actually, I'm sideslipping behind him. I'm going direction A. And he basically gets me centerline. Range 2. At range 2, he unloads all 6 phaser 3s at range 2. So he does a nice bit of damage. And actually, he gets 19 points of damage. And because it was 19 and I had to have reinforced levels on my front panels, he got a leak point. Which actually I had to explain to him, because previously, when he hit me with the plasma, he was expecting a leak. Well, you don't get a leak. The reason why you don't get a leak at 25 is because I didn't have to go to reinforced levels.
Right.
So only if I have to be at reinforced level, and you have to do at least three times the amount number of panels in that bank. So you had to do at least 18 points of damage. He did 19. And I had to have over the reinforced levels to hold it, so so there's one leak, and he got one hole box, so go bing, So I'm okay. I've got one internal at that point.
Yeah.
And then later, and after we cross, you know, I keep going. He launches a plasma F. And that's, and that one, actually, I don't have the pictures here, and I apologize. Which was, I was still going, I was actually sideslipping up, you know, direction A as much as possible. I'm going to die. You know, I need to knock this thing down. So I knock it down. And let me just double check this, because I'm pretty sure I wrote this up. Because I was trying to write it all, but it was taking way too long. And what ended up, I fired my four phaser twos at it, and what happens? It's a fake. So my guess is that he did not want to be completely without any plasmas. So, okay. Fine. So at that point, I was able to get the direction D at the end of the turn, because what I want to do is I want to just run away and get some of this power out of my panels, because I've got quite a bit of power by this point, to the point where I think I have 8 boxes left before I actually start getting internals.
Time to start dissipating stuff.
What's that?
Time to start dissipating power.
Yep. I have to start dissipating it and get rid of all that power. So I start running up, and then I actually we're coming around. You know, this is also turn four. Remember one thing that happens with turn four? Turn four, I've got my TRs back.
And your displacement device.
So I run up. I don't completely run away, because he doesn't have his plasma R available. Yeah, leak points can be dice four after you get through the hull. PA panels are complicated. They take a lot of work. I agree 100% there. They do take quite a bit of work. But I was, you know, so I come up, I turn around, I'm trying to get ahead of them, and I went, you know, I'm not going to get ahead of them this turn. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to get to that shield number one, because he's definitely doing his best not to have the shield number one facing me. So I go, fine. So at that point, you know, I'm turning in towards him. He's got the plasma. Okay, let me just make sure. Do I have it here? No, I don't have it here.
I'm gonna call it a night, because I'm like exhausted.
Okay, well, Barry, you have a good night.
You too. Okay. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. You have a happy Thanksgiving. Okay, here it is. Impulse 13. He launches that last plasma, which I know, of course, at this moment. I call it the cockroach, because that's what it's a derogatory term for the crate. It's because the Andromeda is always scurrying around, so they call it the cockroach. So I always call my ship the cockroach. Because he's always scurrying away. But, you know, Impulse 13, he launches his plasma F. I know it's a real plasma. Right now, that means he's down to one fake plasma. So, okay, I come in. I go, okay, I need to knock down some of this. So I knock. Yes, it really is Kirk. And ask him about his son at some point. Because he actually named him after, of course, James Tiberius. Yep. I don't think his name is James Tiberius, but I think his middle name is Tiberius. I have to double check. It's been a while though. But you know, so in Impulse 13, he launches his F. I'm coming in. I go, okay, I'm gonna need to knock this thing down. So I knock it down some with the phasers. You know, it's real. He hits me for. I think it's like 15 points of damage because I knock it down some. So we get some more energy into these wonderful panels of mine. And at that point, what I'm doing is he's going this way. And obviously, you can see him sideslip. He's sideslipping away from me. So I'm sideslipping towards him. So I'm going down direction D. The whole idea being is to get to this position. What that position is for those on just the audio podcast is I'm at range 4. I got his shield number 4 facing me. It's actually right along the shield split line, which to me is perfect. So I fire 4 phaser 2s at that point. Two phaser 2s and 2 TR beams. With that, I get 41 points of damage, which is gorgeous for me because now he's got 2 shields down. Shield number 1, shield number 4. Got a nice little hole there, you know, which is great, fine, wonderful, dandy for me. I love it. And so, after I do that, I knock out some phaser 3s. Obviously, the funny part about this is I hit a scanner. And later on, let you know, I hit another scanner. So he's got 2 scanners knocked out. Actually, I have to look at his ship, to be honest, to see, okay, does he have to now modify his range? Because his scanner's, I think his scanner is like, a rating of 2 or something like that. I've got to check. I've really got to check. I'm not going to say one way or the other. Oh, it has 3 zeros. Okay, so it's still 0. Okay. Thank you, Eggie. Including the... Okay, you looked. Okay. Thank you, Eggie. Okay, that's good. I originally had not thought about it until I started thinking about the number of scanner hits that he's taken. And I went, I wonder. So, anyway, get the 41, get some hull, got a scanner, got some phasers. So, at the moment, you know, so he's got, I got some more internals. I actually went through his armor and started doing actual internals. Haven't hit any torps yet. Sad face. But I'm getting into him. Now, at the end of the turn, big surprise, I end up, I turn down and I'm coming around. I'm going back. I ended up being where I started around the beginning of turn 3. is where I'm almost where I am. I'm like 4 hexes away from, actually 5 hexes away from the bottom edge of the board. I get, well, in this case, I'm almost at the bottom edge of the board. I'm a little farther away than, but you know, the whole idea is I'm back where I started. And he's turning around. Big surprise. He's turning around because da-da-da-da, you know, his plasma R. Oh. Turn 5, kind of quickly. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure he, at that point, you know, okay, so end the turn here. On turn 5, now I'm running away. I'll, no, I will be going through this whole game all over again with full video later on after the game is all done. So yes, we're playing the game Sunday at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Again, we already got that all set up. Okay, now I'm running around the bottom of the board. I get to the range 16. That's when I change from like standard levels down, reinforced down to standard. Actually, no, I did that early. I did that early in turn. Okay, I did that on turn three. This is where I did the toggle. But at the end of impulse five, I had dropped my front panel. So my front panels are completely down. But given that this is impulse, this turn five, I already reinforced the standard level on, I think, turn four. So that this was wiped out. All that stuff went into the batteries. And so at the beginning of this turn, I got the range 16. And then I drop my front panels. Anything that was in my front panels goes into rear panels. And anything that can't fit in the rear panels goes into the lovely little batteries here. So I was able to get that energy into the batteries. So at this moment in time, the front panels are clear. Not a single bit of energy is in the panels. Lots in the batteries, not much in the panels. The idea being at that point, if even fires at range 16, there's going to be no internals at all because I can go from standard to reinforced. Boop. Yes, it cost me 3 points of power, but at that moment in time, I won't get any internals, so I'm good as gold. So this is where things get exciting. This is impulse 24, turn five. I went around, you know, down the bottom of the board. He started coming in towards the corner. I turn up. He's still coming in. At this moment in time, he decides to do something which terrified me completely and utterly. I'm nerves. That's all I have. I'm freaking nerves. He is at range 10. He's got a plasma R, which he's bolting, which can be 25 points of damage on my rear panels. Let me think. Bah, 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 4 and 4, 16. That probably would give me some internals. This is why I'm just terrified at the moment in time. So, he goes, gamble time, roll R bolt, drum roll, and he rolls a 5. And he says, miss, and I go, yes! With exclamation points. Because I've got all this tension in my, it's like I just released, like, yes, he missed. So, and he gives a sad face, which I understand. It's like, yep. Here is the thing. I totally expected him at this moment in time to go, I concede. Because he's been outplayed basically the whole game. And I expected him to concede. He didn't. Okay. I was going to ask him if he conceded, but I went, no, I'm not going to. If he wants to concede, he conceded. I'm not going to force his hand. So, he continues to go down here. But what happens is I do this, which is he does that. He fires his only plasma R. So now he's without his plasma R. I'm not sure if he has a plasma F at the moment, or at that moment. But anyway, I turn in towards him. And what happens? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Range 6. I get I fire four phaser twos. And I go right down his rear down shield. And I get nice five internals, get a left warp, a center hull, two phaser threes, and a scanner. So I'm not doing too poorly. Now, it would have been really nice if one of these would have been a torp hit, you know? But I'm not complaining. Yeah, that would have been so lovely. Now, so we end the game, turn and, you know, pause the game in this situation, which is last impulse to turn. He turns from direction D, and where his rear panel, the rear shields are facing me, to direction E. So that is it. Now, here's the thing. I went straight. So if I keep going straight and he keeps going towards the corner, that rear shield, I don't think it's going to be shown to me overall. Because if he keeps going, he can get it so that he turns in and keeps it away. But I've got him in the corner. I have my displacement device available to me. So there is the possibility here. There is that possibility. And depends upon what his speed is. Yeah, my TRs are available. It's going to be turn six. My TRs are going to be available. My whatchamacallit is going to be available. My displacement device is going to be available. So there is the possibility of doing something. There's multiple things. At the moment, basically, I've got him cornered. He can't escape this corner. The question is, what is he going to do? There's multiple things he can do. He can do anything from keeping up a nice relatively high speed, I wouldn't think high speed. I think maybe a lower speed, so that he can basically turn the shield number four before I can get around. In which case, I'm in trouble. I can't fight that. It can be that. It could be, you know, he could go. I'm expecting him to basically go slow and then possibly go fast and run around here while I'm coming around this direction. So we're the whole, you know, circle of death kind of thing. Now the question at that point is, I've gone two, he's gone one. What will we both do? I want to get around to his rear shield as quickly as possible. And he doesn't want me to. So he's going to try to avoid it. So, you know, he's probably going, as I said, he's probably going to go start slow and turn, keep doing the circle and go slow enough so he can get that shield number four away from me before I can get around to hit his shield number four. And I have to wait and see what I can possibly do. You know, what it might end up being is going to be one of these really weird situations where he turns and I might have to just try to get him like on the shield split. Cause that's the one of those benefits of the TRHs. The TRHs are front half. That means on that, if you know, front half. So if he is on that shield break, the shield split line, if I get him there, I can fire at him. And it's possible I can actually hit a shield number four doing that. Will I be able to get there? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. So, my friends, I will end that. End it here. I will actually right now save me on this additional podcast. I will wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your family instead of listening to my butt in the middle of the night. Spend the time with your family. Enjoy the football games and lots of turkey. Get that tryptophan going real high. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.